he'd spend 5 minutes getting it to look 90%, and whereas the next set of guys would spend the next 2 hours on that last 10%, he'd be like, no, let's just move on.
Right.
Let's just shoot. Like, now we're going to shoot a feature in 19 days instead of 3 months.
Right. Yeah, I'm all with that guy.
Yeah, he's wild. He was really talented, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So his 90% was a lot better than yours. Hello, and welcome to episode 71. Of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm in Tubingen, Germany, and with me, as always,
Adam, Vancouver.
Blam. That was quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to speed things up, so if I figure if we're quick on the front end, then that will have me in bed earlier.
Or leaves us more time to ramble.
Right. That's right.
Good.
We're going to try to get this one done in 37 minutes.
Do you know what kind of cereal I had today?
I'm going to say something with a lot of fiber in it.
No, that's one of those ones you could just let go.
I was going to let it go, and then I thought, no, it's probably something with a lot of fiber in it.
No, I had cheese cereal.
Oh.
Yeah. Great. That's why you could let it go, because there was no punchline.
Oh, okay.
The punchline was that, anyways, all right. We'll talk about that on our next comedy workshop.
Right.
Yeah. So, before we get into the show, I want to mention once again what we started last week, the Ace Broadcasting Network.
Right.
I put a blog post up.
You didn't finish last time?
Did I? No. I did. Well, maybe. But it's, you understand, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can't just throw something out there and then just sit back and wait for the checks to come in.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the point. And so I put a blog post up. It's kind of explaining what it is we're doing and to make sure everyone knows. And because I was nervous. I was nervous to do this last week.
Yes, you told me such before. And I kind of, said that you shouldn't be nervous. Stop being a loser. And you proceeded to be nervous.
Yeah, loser.
I was trying to talk you down.
Hoser.
Oh, right. Hoser. That's right.
That was a typo.
Yeah.
I was nervous because, once you put it out there, it's out there. And I didn't want to alienate any of our listeners and make them think that, okay, we're going to change the format of the show or more importantly, and this is...
There's a format to this show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's your sheer awesomeness.
Right.
But I also, there's that kind of feeling where it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to get, oh, they got too big for their britches.
Right.
Not a phrase I use often, but I dug that one out for today.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want people to think that, like, or people to think, oh, man, these guys, all of a sudden, they're comparing themselves to Adam Carolla. You're halfway there.
Yes.
But that's about it in name only.
Right.
That wasn't the point. The point is, and we've not been accused of that yet, to our faces. So that's important to point out. And that's not really what this is about. It's kind of about taking the big next step. Now, that part I talked about.
Right.
Did I talk about why the Ace Broadcasting Network is so important? Because it's wildly important.
Are you going to let me answer the question, or are you going to answer it yourself?
It's really rhetorical. So just say, hey, tell me more, Alan.
Tell me more.
You're in luck, Adam. Back in the old days, remember when you used to have like three television networks? Three channels.
Yeah, sure.
And they basically had a bunch of shows that were lousy. Charlie's Angels and all those sorts of shows.
Price is Right.
Yeah, exactly. And they put those on and your choice was you could either, watch Charlie's Angels or go out in the yard and kick rocks. And so they didn't really care too much. And they had executives and people taking a cut of it, of the profits all the way up.
Right.
There's a big machine going in order to make this crappy show. Now, all due respect to Farrah Fawcett, it wasn't awesome television, but everybody watched it. Now what's ended up happening, and then a bunch of channels happened, and so people could sort of watch what they wanted, but you still had this big machine going which still kind of happens now. But as we're doing it, as we're moving forward, the listener slash viewer, whoever, is more directly connected to the producer. So someone like Adam Carolla, when he does his show, doesn't have to answer to anybody except the sponsors and the listeners, essentially.
Okay.
He doesn't have a whole front office of people taking a cut.
I'm still with you. You're going somewhere, right?
This is pretty much it. They're not deciding what's good. You don't have 10 or 12 people deciding what's good and what's funny and then having someone deliver that content and you know, getting in the way.
Right.
So he does his show. He does what he thinks is good, and people either listen or they don't. And if they don't listen, he goes away. And if people do like it, the sponsors notice and give him money for that. So they cut a whole chunk of the business out that doesn't need to exist. And so everyone's talked a long time about the democratization of the process, and this kind of happened with film a while ago when they started getting digital video, but you still needed a distribution network that was viable. This is what this is. So I think that's enough explanation.
That's why it's important.
That is why it's important. So we want to be part of that. What he's doing with his pirate ship, he was offered a job. He talks about how he was offered a multi-year contract for seven figures, a year, and he walked away from it, from a radio job, to continue doing the podcast because it's important. And he's making money at it. But it's important to do this. It's important to continue on with his pirate ship. And we would like to be a part of that.
Okay.
That's why the two hosers want to be on there. I'm fully aware, fully supportive of the entire model. And we have some other stuff sort of on the, I wouldn't say back burner, but more stuff planned that's sort of involved in this that we'll talk about later on.
It's great. I can't wait to hear more.
Well, we'll do that off the air because most people have tuned out by now.
Okay. So, let's move along. Move along.
Okay. That's the move along episode.
Yeah.
What else? What did you shoot this week?
I shot a couple of Mother's Day photos. I think now that I'm becoming the family photographer in my neck of the woods, my requests are coming from internally. That's the extended family for pictures. And so for my parents, my mother's request for Mother's Day, which is upcoming, is that I take a picture with her and my father and the grandkids. So there was a little photo shoot down in Steveston at Gary Point, a place you're familiar with. We've actually did one of our broadcasts down from Gary Point. I don't remember which episode that was, but our live outdoor broadcast from Gary Point episode.
Where that couple sat down right next to us.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Just wide open, like you could shoot a cannon off. Although I don't know how you'd get a cannon down there, but and then these people came up and sat basically on our laps.
Yeah, that was awesome. And sorry, because we have a kid, we're going to park it right here. But okay, yeah. So aside from that, we took a family photo. Well, my parents and my grandkids were the family down on the rocks overlooking the water. So got a nice shot there. And then I did another little shoot with my mother-in-law and four grandkids, three-year-olds and 1 5-year-old, which, you know, poses some of its own challenges, which, again, you probably are familiar with photographing families and young children. It's not the easiest thing to do. So did a couple of little family photo shoots and then some pictures at the park, you know, testing out the new lens, one of which will be used for the photo challenge. But using the 70-200 millimeter, because that's the new lens, and I'm just trying to test it out.
Yeah. I also took a bunch of family pictures,
right?
Because as I mentioned before, in the last few episodes, all of our friends are having kids at an alarming rate,
right?
And so everyone came at once here, and so I ended up shooting a lot of family photos. And so these were a bunch of sets, different families this week, and I ran into something that a similar problem that you and I talked about off the air. When you're shooting the one set of the Mother's Day pictures, you had a bit of a background issue.
Yes.
How did you power through that?
Basically, I decided that if I was going to get a shot, I didn't have a whole lot of time to find the ideal scenario. And shooting 3 3-year-olds and a 5-year-old, the 5-year-old is pretty cooperative. The 3-year-olds are a bit of a crapshoot. So the basic setup was, okay, we've got them all together. Let's shoot here. So I tried to do the best I can with the hand that I was dealt. But in the case of the photo for my mother-in-law, and she'll be thrilled with the fact that all the grandkids are surrounded around there and there's some happy faces. But the background will feature a trailer, which I would have preferred was not in the picture.
Right. So. I've been there many times. not the trailer specifically, but where even with grown adults, where you look around and you're thinking, okay, well, now you have a larger group to photograph. You're going to have a larger background.
Yeah.
Even though they're going to fill much of your background, because hopefully you're going to fill the frame with the group. But still, there's a lot to deal with. And how do you basically find a background that, you know, is sort of neutral? And I ran into the same thing. We had a couple of infants, or we had like a 1-year-old brand new infant, and then a 2-year-old who is a terror. And I've just decided, you know what? We're going to go with the white wall. I'm going to eliminate the background altogether, put them up against the blown out white wall, and we'll see what happens. So that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah, and sometimes that's a great move, right?
Yep.
And again, it just depends on, you know, how much time you've got for the photograph as well. Like for mine, it was, okay, everybody's happy, everybody's outside, we better get this shot right now. And you're, again, it's just, okay, this is where we are, we're taking the picture now, and you're lucky if you can get everybody to look in the general vicinity.
Yeah. No, that's the definition of ducks in a row.
Yeah.
You want to get it, but I also shot some other family pictures where the kids were a little bit more cooperative. I guess the kids are a little bit older, 7, 4, and a newborn.
Okay.
And I know the family quite well, and so I get along very well with the kids, and so they really participated. And however, you still have to move very, very quickly when you're shooting the family, because people are kind of they don't want just one family photo. They would like, you know, a series of photos.
Right.
And you've got under an hour to do it. So we're talking about a bunch of different lighting setups. So you have to be really good with your lighting. Like, you have to know where the lights are going to go, how much power the flash should be, you know, all that kind of stuff when you're doing off-camera flash.
Right.
So here's where counting clicks came in very, very helpful, very, very handy. Is I would move from a group shot, and I shoot largely with the 70 to 200 as well, because I happen to love that lens for portraits. And so I'll be shooting a shot with say, all 5 of them in the one shot. And then all of a sudden, be like, okay, well, let's get a close-up of the baby's hand. You know, like the father's hand, you know, the baby holding the dad's finger or something like that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you have to shift gears like that.
Right.
And so when I'm shooting the wide group, the group shot, I'm going to shoot it probably in F8 so that everybody's face is in focus.
Right. Yep.
When I'm going to shoot the kid's hand, I'm going to shoot that at F4 because we want to really isolate the image.
Right.
So all of a sudden, that's six clicks right there. So I owe those 6 clicks somewhere else. I'm shooting with flash. I can't get those 6 clicks back on shutter speed because I'm already at my max.
Right.
So I don't want to open up too much. And so basically, where do those clicks come from?
Flash so power.
Flash power, sometimes flash power, if I can, if I have time, which in this case I would, to walk over and count down six clicks on there, or it'll come on the ISO.
Right.
So that's, again, just another example of where counting clicks is very helpful. And if you're having trouble with the counting clicks, don't be intimidated. It's not easy right away.
And remind us again, what's the ratio for the ISO?
On the,
like, because mine jumps, like it goes 400, 800, 1600. So is that a full stop?
Yes, that's a full stop, which is 3 clicks.
Right.
Okay, so my camera, that's a great point. My camera does increments of a third of a stop for ISO. So it'll go, for instance, I don't want to miss one here. How does it go? 400, 640, 400, 500, 640, 800. So it's got the in-between stops as well.
Right.
So that each click actually counts. Mm-hmm. But for the entry-level cameras, that's where it gets tricky. Each time you move, it's actually three clicks. So
makes, but your six clicks would be two ISO stops.
Two ISO stops. Which, since you're working with largely with flash, as long as that doesn't bring up your ambient exposure too much, you're going to be fine.
Okay.
But again, that's a little bit, this is an advanced example of how to use counting clicks. You can use it on a very simple level as well. That's what we encourage you to practice. So, and the last thing I shot, we took the outdoor swimming pool opened up about a week and a half ago here in Tübingen.
Yeah.
And so we take Emily there often. And so I decided, well, it was one day, it was middle of the week and not very crowded. So I thought that would be the day I'd take my camera, take my 40D with the 70 to 200 lens. I wanted some nice long lens shots of her. And I didn't want to take it on a crowded day because you're that guy.
Yeah, it's the creepy guy. The creepy guy in the bushes that I sometimes am at the dike in Steveston when I'm photographing a sunset.
That's why I tried to pick a uncrowded day. But my wife at one point, we were the only ones in the pool. But she said, "You put the camera away now. You look like that guy."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think the sandals and the white socks helped either.
Yeah. What about the headband?
Yeah. Did you buy a new bag?
I did. Yeah, new
that
bag.
That was like the worst segue ever.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, what do you say? I just called you out on wearing a headband.
Yeah.
So.
And I just wanted to motor right into the bag. You're looking for a bag.
I was looking for a bag.
Did you buy one?
I bought a bag. Yeah.
Don't tell us which one. No.
Should I tell you or no?
No.
I shouldn't?
No, don't. That's a teaser.
That's a cliffhanger.
Well, not cliffhanger, because we're not going to talk about it.
No, that's a cliffhanger.
Okay, if you say so. You're the expert.
I am. Bag expert. You apparently are not the expert.
Well, cliffhanger expert, I meant. we're going to do a show about bags.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to issue this now live on the air, and you don't even know this is coming.
Okay.
We're each going to do a video of our bags.
Oh, come on, really?
Blammo. Trying to back out now. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Okay.
You've got your video. You've got your video feature now on your new camera.
Right.
So you can do an HD video of, because you have more than one bag.
I have two bags. No, I have three bags.
Like I said, I just said more than one. That's all. Yeah. Yes or no?
Yes, I have more than one bag.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll do a video. I'll even do mine first so you can copy mine almost verbatim, okay?
And just make mine slightly better.
Yeah. I will add cooler music to mine. I'm going to add the soundtrack to 2001 to mine.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. That's is it next week or the week after? We're not sure. Got some balls in the air that we're juggling.
Right.
To determine next week's episode.
Which is going to be riveting no matter what.
Look, I didn't want to say it because it would sound like bragging, but yeah, it will be.
Okay.
This week's challenge photo was go long.
Right.
Which is what we're doing on this episode right now.
Yeah. But we don't have much to talk about, so we're just really, we're really stretching out the beginning.
I'm going to edit most of this out.
No, you won't. All right.
No, that takes time. Yeah. Why would I waste 30 minutes of my time when I can waste, 2 hours of everybody else's? Times eight, our number of listeners. Yeah.
All right. Go long.
Go long. You want to go first or second?
I want to go second.
Awesome. That's what happened. Okay. Yeah, last week I got screwed.
You shouldn't have given me the option. Okay.
No, it's fine. All right. This is Victoria.
And Victoria, you just met her on the street, or is this a friend of yours?
No, met her on the street. I went out last night. I had a long lens picture already to go for the photo challenge, but I wasn't really thrilled with it. Like it was a good picture. It just didn't really demonstrate why we shoot with a long lens.
Okay.
And so I wanted to go out, and we had some great weather yesterday. And just as the sun was falling, the sky lit up. It was the light was fantastic. Sort of pre-magic hour was just great looking last night.
Okay.
So I grabbed my camera and wandered out, and I found this great spot where the light was just streaking across this building, and it was just going to be the most beautiful background. And I waited for somebody to show up. And I sat there, and I waited, and finally people started coming by, but I'm assuming they're not listening, but it was like the ugliest people you've ever seen in your life. Just nonstop. It was like the ugly parade. And I was like, what's going on?
The circus was in town.
I can't believe you just stole my next punchline.
Wow, that's how I do it.
No, it's like, now this is going to sound terrible. This is not going to sound as funny. I'm going to say it anyway just to prove. Like, I did not write this down yet. I was standing outside. It's like I was standing outside the circus and somebody pulled the fire alarm.
Right.
So.
I'm really glad you powered through that.
Ha 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 ha. Oh. I peed a little. So I was like, oh, man. And so, of course, what was my window on the shot that I wanted was about 3 minutes before the sun finally dipped below the horizon. And that happened before anybody halfway decent looking came walking by.
Yeah.
You know, like I understand I'm not, I'm not winning. I'm not in the Tommy Hilfiger catalog, but I'm not a mud fence either. And these, so anyways. So I was forced to wander down the street, and I found something. Now, the sun had dipped below, and then all of a sudden, a few more ugly people, and then Victoria came by.
Right.
And obviously, as you can see, decidedly unugly.
No, she's very pretty.
Yeah.
But my wife's not listening, right?
No. No, I don't think so. Why would she?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, neither's my wife, and I'm the one walking around shooting girls. Hey, can I take your picture?
Right, with my very long lens.
Yeah. And then when you're done, do you want to help me move this couch into my van? You bought a size 14. So I took a gamble because she was actually riding her bike. So I couldn't actually tell if she was attractive. It wasn't the point. But she was riding her bike, and as she approached, I kind of flagged her down and just said, hey, can I take your picture? And she was into it. She was like, yeah, it took a little convincing at first because of the whole van comment. But and then we did it. And so there you go.
Do you send her the picture?
Yes, I will. I gave her a Two Hosers card, and I explained what it was for and said, if you send me an email, I will send you the picture. So there's that. So she's going to take a risk giving me her email address, which I will not, use in any other reason except for to send her the picture. But so there you go. So this is Victoria.
Okay. And so this, how does this illustrate the go long phenomenon of the lens you were using?
Well, you tell me first of all, what do you think of the picture?
I like the lighting. Picture. It looks like a very nice portrait. I like
all
the
natural
light.
Yeah.
I like
no
color.
Flash at all.
Are you going to step on my toes again?
Yeah, I blame Skype.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead and talk, because it sounds like every time I'm going to say something, you just sound like you're just going to jump on me like Spider-Man.
To be fair, I believe there is a delay because I am across the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
And so you're talking, and then that's what's happening.
Okay, well, I like your picture. I don't really have anything in the way of constructive feedback other than to say I like the picture. I do like the placement of the wall behind her, and I do like the colors. I like the fact that she's got a green shirt, and it meshes well with the different green tones that you've got in behind her on the wall with the leaves and also the trees in the background. So I like it. I got nothing to say but good things.
And I was quiet the whole time.
There you go. Now you talk.
I agree with everything you said. That's basically why I like the picture. And this was the only one I took. Like, I walked out, snapped this one, and went right back home. Except for I did take a picture of the background, though.
Okay.
in order to illustrate why we use a long lens.
Okay. I'm going to look that now.
Had we used a wider lens and a lot bigger depth of field, we would have seen that as a background.
Yeah, not the most appealing background.
Not at all. The bus stop, the trees, the building there, the bikes, all that stuff is pretty cluttered and ugly. But by shooting at 200 millimeters on my 70-200 f4, we compress everything and, more importantly, blur out that background into something that's not distracting.
Right, and actually quite pleasing.
There you go. So that's the real simple way. And there's no tricks here. There's no lighting tricks. No, there is zero Photoshop. Didn't go through Photoshop at all. This is essentially, for the most part, out of the camera. Just like that.
Okay.
No lights, no bounce, no anything. Just find a good time of day to shoot and pick a good spot.
So I like it. There you go.
Let's look at Jack Fofak.
Yeah, so this is my son taken at the playground probably about 12 noon. So sun is almost directly overhead. So I think everyone can sort of relate to that time of day to take photos, especially if you've got kids. That's the time that you are out at the park. So it can pose potentially some lighting challenges and often a lot of shadows. So I actually found a shaded place like where these monkey bars were, are mostly under shade. And then I figured I'd have a much easier time to get the exposure right on him. So the light that's coming in, you can see, is kind of, you know, creating a nice rim light on his on the right side of his body. And then you get his arms, and it seems like he's traced almost in that, in some of that light. And then, yeah, I did the same thing. I shot it, I think I might not have been right at 200, but pretty close, something like 180. And then I basically shot it in an F4 because I wanted to get the nice blurred background. And there's the result.
So you did this on purpose?
I did it on purpose.
Like the open shade part that you found?
Absolutely, the shade part, because of that problem is I did not want to have the big dark shadows over his eyes.
Okay, I don't know. I'm very impressed.
Well, I'm good.
Yeah, you are good, and that's what I'm more surprised than impressed.
Okay.
yeah, take this in the spirit which is intended, and that is to burn you.
Yes.
But this is a really. I saw this picture and I thought, wow, that is really good.
I think.
I mean, better than one of your best pictures that you've ever taken. I will submit.
I don't disagree with that. And again, this lens, and we talked about it a little bit off the air, makes me a better photographer. It allows me to do things that I couldn't do with my previous setup. So,
okay. To be fair, this lens doesn't make you a better photographer.
No, it just gives me some options I didn't have.
Right. The first big one, though, the lighting setup on this is which isn't lighting, which is just natural light. This isn't just making the best of a bad situation, which is generally what you do at noon.
Right.
This looks like you did this on purpose. This looks fantastic. The colors, essentially the rim lighting that you've done, it's not too blown out.
Yeah.
Yet his face is right where I exposed, exactly where I would put it. The separation from the background that happens from the long lens. If you shot this with your 30 mil lens, you would not have got this separation.
No, and you'd see, kind of like your picture, that the background isn't actually that great. You did what you did is kind of helpful because you see what the background actually is, and the background isn't that great. Obviously, the green is grass and behind him, but there's a picnic table back there, that sort of is almost like an outhouse kind of little hut that's all blacked out in the back there. So there's things there that, again, it looks, again, very unassuming, the background, but I wanted to get rid of it.
Done. Looks good. And it looks like Jack's been working out.
Yeah. No, he's a six-pack, that kid.
Kid's got muscles.
He's a walking six-pack.
Yeah.
He gets that from me.
His mother. Oh, zing. Double zing at the same time. Wow. Wow, you're just punchline stepper today.
Yeah, that's right.
Your job is to just lob it over the center, and I hit the home run.
Okay. Sorry about that.
You just lob those.
Is that part of the
there.
Format you were talking about earlier?
It is now. I'm going to write that down under format. I'm going to file it under F for
Someone
format.
Sent us an email, I don't know, in this last week and said, love the format of your show. And I thought to myself, there's a format?
Well, I think so.
Okay. Well, maybe you can let us know what it is. What is the format of this show? It's my question for you today.
The format is you used to be bad at taking pictures and then you've learned.
Okay, so the format is I ask you questions, you kind of, you know, give me the odd zinger, and then we all learn something about photography.
The format is you pretend not to be lazy, I pretend not to notice, and then we move on.
Okay.
Yeah. This right. week's topic.
God, there's still a topic?
Of course there's still a topic. I don't even know how much we recorded it this time. We stopped and started so many times.
Okay, so what's the topic?
Topic is format. Show format.
What's the real topic?
The real topic is telephoto lenses.
We just talked about that.
Oh, man, that jives nicely with how we did that. We call that synergy over here in the format business. So to save time this week for telephoto lenses, we just want you to listen to last week's episode on wide angle backwards.
That's a good point.
It's just all the reverse.
Yeah, so everything we said that was good about wide angles is actually bad, and everything that they can't do is great because telephoto lenses can do it.
Well, no, but that's a good point, Adam, and I didn't write this down, but if I were to say to you, hey, Adam, what's your favorite food?
Broccoli.
That's a lie.
I would say pizza. Probably pizza. I could eat pizza every day of my life.
In the summer at the beach?
Sure. Cold.
Okay, well.
In a saran wrap.
See, I thought about it because I can't answer the question, hey, what's your favorite food? Because I think, okay, well, one of my favorite foods happens to be curry chickpeas for whatever reason. And I would not eat that at a barbecue. At a barbecue, I enjoy some other kind of food. And so, not to be nonspecific, the point isn't what I like to eat. The point is it's different for every situation.
Okay.
And so if you want to, you know, that's what wide-angle lenses versus telephoto are like. I can't say, hey, what's your favorite lens? Oh, well, it's this one because I always shoot with it.
Right.
There's different times where you shoot with different lenses. So last week we talked all about wide-angle. This week we're going to go long, talk about telephoto.
Okay.
Okay. What is telephoto?
I don't know where you draw the line. I don't know. Is it 200 millimeters? Is it 100 millimeters? What classifies? Is there an exact answer?
The answer is 84.5.
Really?
That's the over under. I don't know. How would I know? I don't care.
Yeah. Well, why'd you ask the question?
No, I didn't say where does telephoto start. That's the next question.
Well, you said what is telephoto?
And yeah. What is telephoto though? But generally, not necessarily a number.
A long zoom. Know?
I'm glad you said that because that's not the right answer, but that's a very common answer.
Is it just zoomed in? So 200 millimeters on a prime, is that a telephoto lens?
Okay, now you're just making it worse. You're in quicksand and you're flailing around. Just sit still.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. telephoto
means long. You're surprisingly sharp for early in the morning today.
Yeah, it's all those push-ups. Yeah. And so telephoto is a long lens. That's all it is.
Okay.
Now, it gets confused with zoom, like, all the time. People think, oh, yeah, that's just a zoom lens. Well, a zoom lens basically means a variable focal length, meaning it can go from A to B, from 17 to 40 or 18 to 55. That's a zoom lens.
Right.
Regardless of whether it starts wide and goes slightly wider or telephoto-er, it doesn't matter. That's the zoom part of it. Telephoto just means a long lens. So it could be a 200 millimeter fixed focal length.
What about a 24 to 105? Is that telephoto?
At the 105 end, it would be a telephoto, okay. I think. Again, I don't know where it starts. I don't really care what the specific cutoff point is.
Okay.
When it comes to movies, do you know the cutoff point between a short and a feature film?
No.
74 minutes.
Really?
75 minutes is a feature, 74 is a short.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's why the credits in some of these movies end up lasting 4 minutes to push it over the feature. True story.
Why, do you get some extra bonus incentive if it becomes a feature?
I believe that's how you sell them, yeah.
Interesting.
Anywho, not really. So, telephoto, I shoot telephoto often, as you kind of have been lately, because it just kind of jives with how I like to shoot. On the other hand, now that I think about it, I shoot with my 30 mil often as well. So that's a different sort of setup. I like shooting with my telephoto lens.
I so far in my limited experience with it, I love it. Again, the downside, which maybe you're getting to in this discussion, is the size and weight and length of the lens. So as a practical, you know, take anywhere setup, the 30 millimeter is certainly a lot easier.
Right. So why do you shoot telephoto? Who shoots it? I think it's good for if you're in the paparazzi.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good for, again, my kids are still a little bit young, but I'm thinking of, you know, their future superstardom as pro athletes.
So exactly.
On the sidelines where you just can't run up behind them without getting red carded. You'd be able, to take some pictures of them on the field or on the ice or wherever they may be. And or even at the child's concert or graduation or whatever, wherever you can't stand next to them.
Like, for instance, at the nude beach.
Right.
If you walk around the nude beach with a wide angle lens, man, they're going to see you. But if you're up in the woods with a camouflage long lens,
then you're pretty good to go.
I think you're sorted.
Yeah.
That was what we call a joke.
Right.
I don't do that anymore, or any less, to be honest with you. No, you bring up a great point. Okay, P.S. For those who still don't get the joke, don't be that guy.
If we have to tell you that, you probably are that guy.
And you're not listening. If we have to tell you, you don't care what we think.
Right.
you're already up there. Oh, I was going to perv on a bunch of people, but the two hosers said don't do it. So lesson learned. Really dodged a bullet there. Thanks, hosers.
There's going to be 6 emails like that.
There's going to be a fruit basket delivered to my house. Yeah. And the guy will take pictures in the woods of me getting that basket. So, no, you brought up a great point. Sports require a telephoto. Unless you're willing to go skate around, unless you're willing to ref your kids' games and take pictures while you do it, which, P.S., that's a great idea. Trademark. I'm going to trademark that. I will do that.
Okay.
Then, yeah, you're going to need a telephoto lens. What about if you sat in the – if you're sitting in the stands at a hockey rink and you're taking pictures with your 30 mil and then just crop later? How about that? Is that the same?
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same. No, there's a lot of issues involved. Like, you don't get the same sort of optics. You're not going to get the same depth of field. It's you don't want to do it. You need a telephoto lens. Also for portraits. Portraits are the big
one. That's one you've talked about in the past
on our portrait episode.
On our portrait episode. And so just quickly give us the key bits.
Okay, it basically compresses. It makes people look good. How does that sound?
Yeah.
It separates them from the background by blurring it, first of all, compresses the background. It's odd because it actually makes the background appear closer than it is. And we are trying to create depth in our image, so it's a little bit counterintuitive. However, shoot portraits with a telephoto lens. That's how I do it.
Yeah, and I think the big one is that I notice – and that you highlighted on a previous episode is just how, you know, it compresses the features on the people, which just makes people look better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It basically increases decreases the perceived distance between the nose and the ear and stuff like that, and people look good.
People all have the nice button nose.
Have you ever met a movie star?
No. Actually, that's not true. I did. Jean-Claude Van Damme, I met him at UBC.
Okay. Now, John, he's a good example, actually. In person, would you say he's a good-looking guy?
I would say he's a pretty good-looking guy.
Is he? Okay. Because not all movie stars are good-looking people in person.
Yeah. I would say he probably is. He's very small.
Okay.
But he's a good-looking guy.
Because the few that I've met and worked with or whatever, some of them – when you first meet them, you think, wow, really? You're a movie star, huh? Like, in person, you wouldn't think anything. And then you start to see them on camera, or you shoot them, and all of a sudden you see, okay, yeah, that's why. You look fantastic on camera. And a lot of it is, if you shoot with a long lens, it compresses people, and certain people look even better with a long lens. Again, that's kind of what movie stars are.
Right.
Some of them, I'm going to suppose that in person, Tom Cruise doesn't look like Tom Cruise on the screen. He photographs very, very well.
Okay.
So there's that.
So that's why you should get a long lens.
That's why you should get a long lens.
Look like Tom Cruise.
Well, in case you bump into Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Just have one at all times, just in case. weddings. Weddings are that's long lens material right there. If you've ever been to a wedding and seen the photographer, 99% of the time, they're going to be shooting with a big long lens. Because you're not going to want to walk up, stand between the minister and the couple and start snapping away.
Right.
You're going to stand back and shoot. And other times, just shooting portraits looks good.
Okay.
So what are some of the benefits of shooting with a long lens? Besides
all the things you just talked about?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Tell us something that you didn't just tell us.
In your shot with Jack, one of the things that you probably noticed at the park is a wide range between very, very light, very, very, like very, very bright, and very, very dark.
Right.
The shadows were probably very black and the sunshine blown out. Well, you minimize that by taking a very small chunk of that scene.
Right.
Had you shot that with a wide, wide lens, you would have had to now include a much larger latitude within that frame. So, less to worry about.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so, in terms of all your lighting and that, with just less in the frame, it's easier to light. How was lens flare an issue?
No, but again, I'm using with that lens, there's quite a large, lens hood. So
yes.
I think, but when I was doing my research about it, they did say that the optics of the lens itself minimize lens flare too. So
in general, longer lenses, are less susceptible. That's a word, right?
Yeah. Susceptible is in fact a word.
Susceptible to lens flare, just by the nature of how they work. You can still get it. I mean, once that front element is exposed, yeah, you can still get lens flare. But and when it happens, it's pretty pronounced. But it doesn't happen that often. And with a long lens, you can put a very long hood on and really eliminate that. So it's not something I ever really worry about when I'm shooting with a long lens. No distortion around the edges, like we talked about with the wide-angle lens. As soon as you get to the edges, vertical lines tend to get less vertical.
Right.
Not an issue with long lenses.
That's good.
Scratches, not an issue. If you get a scratch on your front element, likely not going to notice.
And that's because if you're shooting at whatever, 100 millimeters or 200 millimeters, it's not going to see any of it. Because it's too close? Is that the idea?
Pretty much. And your depth of field is going to be so minimal that it's not going to happen. I want you to do a test before next week.
Scratch the heck out of the front lens?
Yes. Take your ice skate. No, here's what I want you to do. You just go outside in the daytime there and take a shot at 200 millimeters. Okay?
Yeah.
And focus on something, I don't know, at least a few feet away. It doesn't matter. A little ways away. 200 millimeters at f4. Okay?
Yeah.
Now take that without the hood. It's important that you don't use the hood.
Okay.
Okay, don't use the hood. Then take that same shot with a pencil directly in front of the lens. Like touching the lens. I want you to hold a pencil up right in front of the lens. You'll see it through the viewfinder.
Okay.
Take the same picture and compare. You're okay. Likely... should I spoil it for you, or do you want to just talk about
it next
week?
I'm not going to see the pencil.
Okay, let's talk about it next week then. Good point. Good point. Well put.
So let's call it the invisible pencil.
The invisible pencil. Yeah. Or you could just not do the pencil, just take two of the same picture and go, yeah, I did it. I can't even see it.
Or you know what? I won't take the pictures at all and I'll say I did it.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love your commitment. Yeah. So scratches aren't generally an issue, and neither is lens sensor dust. Not lens, sensor dust is less of an issue because you don't see it. Depth of field is very, very shallow, even at higher apertures. So if you're shooting at something at f8 at 200 millimeters, you're going to get a very narrow depth of field still. A very pleasing depth of field, actually.
Okay.
So that's another upside. You already mentioned some of the downsides. What are some of the what's the one that you mentioned?
It's big.
It's big. And cumbersome.
Heavier, obviously, you know, in a comparative sense to like a prime lens. At the 30 millimeter point or 50 millimeters that you would have, it's much, which are much lighter.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. That's something to think about. Like I do think about that when I leave the house. Like if I'm going to go somewhere and walk around, do I want to walk around with that long lens? Like if we're going to go out and walk around town and maybe go for coffee, do I want to be sitting holding my long lens while I have coffee?
Exactly. No. And that's an important consideration.
Yeah. Cause I like coffee.
Well, and I went to Playland, which is an amusement park, a couple weeks back with my kids. And this is right after I just got the lens. And I'm thinking, I really want to use this lens. But that is trumped by the fact that I do not want to go on rides and carry this thing around all day. So I took the 30 millimeter lens, and I was pretty happy with the results.
Yep. You have to weigh off all the benefits. So that is one thing. Another thing about... that I didn't talk about last week on the show, and I meant to mention with wide-angle lenses versus telephoto lenses, most times telephoto lenses require a much larger minimum focus distance.
Yes.
Which means that your lens can only focus so close to you. Now, what is the – do you have the 200 in front of you?
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll call it a meter then. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to say it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, 1.2 maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Call it 4 feet for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
So the closest that you can be to your subject's 4 feet, which oftentimes isn't a problem. Like when you're shooting outside, like you were with Jack and the monkey bars, not a problem.
Right.
You want to be as far back as you can anyway because you want to shoot at 200 and still get your shot. Yeah. But sometimes you get stuck, you're inside and... you know, you need to shoot something very close. Well, a wide-angle lens, depending how wide it goes and which lens, can shoot basically right in front of the front element. Some can shoot very, very close. So that's something to think about. If you're shooting inside, it could be a pain. You can't do it.
Right.
It is difficult to shoot in crowds. If you're at a party, like say you're shooting a wedding reception... and you're trying to get candid pictures, sometimes it can be good because you can stand at the back and just kind of pick them off when no one's looking, and you get really good candid pictures. But if you're in a tight area and people are milling about, there's likely going to be someone standing between you and your subject. So that's an issue.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas if you're shooting with a 30 mil, you can basically get up, you can get in between them and get the shot. Okay. So that's difficult to do.
Yeah.
Here's the big one. Here's the big one that I think most people are going to experience. They're hard to hold still. We talked last week that on a wide-angle lens, you can get away with much slower shutter speeds and still hand-hold the camera. Much, much more difficult with telephoto lenses.
And there's a simple equation, right? I think that, again, I'm going way back into the archives that you had mentioned in an early episode. Basically, if you're shooting at... you know, 200 millimeters, is it not that you want to be at least 1/200th of a second shutter speed?
If you're good, if you are really good at taking pictures and are practiced, then 1/200th, you'll get away with 1/200th at 200 millimeters.
Right.
I still try to go much higher than that. I still try to get into the 1/1000th area, 1/500, 1/1000th.
Yeah.
Just because it's difficult to hold still.
Right.
The odd thing is the heavier the camera, the lens, the easier it is to hold still. If it's a light lens, it's actually difficult. Easier to carry, harder to hold still.
And one of the tricks for that you had mentioned to me, and I right away noticed a big difference with that 70-200, and we both have the non-IS version.
Let's mention the IS first. Okay. First of all, what is IS, VR, whatever you want to call it?
I guess it's a built-in stabilization that's built into the lens itself.
Right. It's a vibration reduction or image stabilization or whatever anyone's calling it. Basically allows you to hold the camera a little more still or fake it, essentially.
Right.
Now, what that does is basically everybody likes to advertise how many stops, additional stops that gives you. You know, it's a, you get 14 additional stops. Well, you don't. But it does allow you to hold it. It does eliminate some of the camera shake. Which is why you have to shoot with such a fast shutter speed. But it's very expensive, especially as you get up in the higher lenses. Like if you buy the 70-200 like you have,
yeah,
it doubles the price.
It's true. Yeah, I think the version I bought, I paid $650. It was on sale. It's usually you find it around $700 to $750, and the IS version was $1,500.
Yeah. So there you go, and that's what you pay for.
And I did not want to pay $1,500.
Okay, but if you don't want to pay for it, and you still want to get sharp pictures, Adam, what do?
You buy the non-IS version.
Okay, and how do you get sharp pictures?
Well, again, these were suggestions that you made, and I found it worked quite well, so I didn't make these up, give you appropriate credit, but shoot at a higher ISO. So if you're outside and you want to get some more shutter speed, instead of shooting at an ISO 100, like the picture, my challenge picture of Jack, I believe was set, shot at an ISO of 200, or again, depending on your light, you know, you might even be an ISO 400 so that you can get your shutter speed in the 1/1000th or 1/2000th of a second range, and then shoot in burst mode so that maybe your first photo isn't perfectly still, but when you hold it down and you get two or three, that's going to eliminate some of the camera shake too.
That is the best tip I can give anybody, is the burst mode thing. Because I think we've talked about it before on an episode, but when you first press the shutter, even if you're really good at it and roll your finger over it nicely, there's still the possibility of some camera movement as you push down.
Especially at 200 millimeters.
Absolutely. It's just amplified at that focal length. So if you use the burst mode and just fire off 3 to 5 shots, you're going to throw the first one or two away, and you're okay with that. Later on, in when you're on your computer, you know, okay, I'm going to toss those ones. They're not going to be sharp. One of the next few is going to be sharp.
Yeah.
Likely. And now that's what you can get right down to 1/50th of a second if you have to. That's the beauty of the burst mode.
Now, I will say there is a downside to this. And again, I never really shot a lot of burst mode before, but having just come from the park last weekend and doing a photo shoot with the 70-200 and a lot of burst mode, is I came home from the park after being there for 2 hours with 350 pictures, which I then had to sit through and sort through which were the winners. And again, there was a lot of good pictures, and I was very, very pleased with, but it still took me, you know, twice as long to sit and go through. And again, I had sort of that daunting task of, oh man, I got to sort through 350 pictures. And then I didn't really want to shoot pictures for the next few days.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the downsides.
Yeah.
The other thing is what you mentioned about the ISO, is go against your instincts. You go outside, and normally you would shoot at 100. Don't be afraid to go to 400 or 800. Go very high. And the downside being that you're going to get, you know, maybe 1/4000th of a second shutter speed, you're going to get sharp pictures. As long as you're not shooting with a flash, which is going to sort of inhibit your flash use. But if you're just shooting like your kids running around, don't worry about grain. You're going to get a little bit of digital noise, but if you're exposed properly in the sunshine, you're not going to notice it.
Right.
You're going to notice very sharp pictures, and people are going to look at the photos of your kids playing or whatever you're shooting, or people at the nude beach, whatever you end up shooting.
Right.
And remark at how sharp they are. Or maybe they won't remark, but they'll notice. So I will take a little bit of noise over motion blur anytime. Also, you want to stabilize your body well. That that we've talked about that in a past episode. So why don't you head on back and listen to that one again?
Yep.
So we're just repeating ourselves. What about a tripod?
I have one. I haven't used it a whole lot with this lens because, again, I find that I want to move around. What I'm taking pictures of is not a lot of stage setup stuff where I have time to put it on a tripod. Yep. But I did experiment a little, and I just again, find for what I'm doing, it's easier for me to just handhold and move around.
That's the same advice I would give. I tripods are great, but it's hard for me to advocate them because I don't have one.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have one, a sort of a video one I could use technically, but I never do it. I'm not anti-tripod. Mm-hmm. I just, like you, Adam, I find myself in positions where I need to move very, very quickly, and it slows me down.
Yeah.
But they do help with stability. And something else that you can look at, which if you watch the NFL, you'll see the guys, which if I ever watch a football game, I generally watch the sidelines for A, the cheerleaders, and B, the camera guys.
Yeah.
And because they generally hang out together.
Yeah, I was going to say, and this, I almost stepped in your punchline, but this, I was about to say, and yeah, I'm sure those camera guys are the guys that get the cheerleaders.
Yeah. Well, I think they just sort of hang out with the cheerleaders. I don't think it's the other way around. Definitely a one-way street.
Right.
Yeah. But you watch them. Those guys, a lot of them shoot with monopods.
Yeah. And I've been actually looking at getting one.
I've got one.
Oh, you did get one. So on our next monopod show...
Well, it's going to be a pod show.
Okay.
We'll talk about monopods, bipods, tripods. If you're really fancy, you got a quad pod. That's if you have a Leica, though.
Okay, so just can you tell us what did you buy? Which monopod did you purchase?
I bought a Manfrotto.
Yeah.
They're ridiculously cheap, believe it or not.
Yeah, I've been looking at them. So, yeah, which one did you get?
Well, the one that was $60.
So the 680B?
I don't know. Probably.
It probably
it sounds familiar.
Or a 679B. Like, yeah, there's a couple in that range, but that sounds... And did you get a ball head for it?
I bought that separately, yes.
So a swivel one or that just goes one direction or one that goes in all directions?
All directions. Wow.
There you go. See, no, I've been looking at this because it's probably my next photography purchase, just because I do find that there would be situations where that would be much easier than a tripod.
Yeah, why don't you borrow mine first?
Okay, maybe see if I like it.
We'll see if you like it first. I use it now and then. It still can slow you down sometimes. Depends how you're shooting. But sometimes it comes in very, very handy. So there's that. What are your favorite, I mean, how many telephoto lenses have you shot with, but what are your favorite ones?
The one I have, cause it's the only one I've shot with.
Right. The 70-200.
Yes, the 70-200 f/4 non-IS. That is the version I have, and I've only had it for about 3 weeks. So,
that is one of my two favorites as well.
What's your other one?
The other one is the 85mm f/1.8.
And is that a telephoto lens?
I don't know. I'm glad you asked because I actually don't know.
Okay, it's not. I'm going to say it's not.
It's great. It's probably not. It's probably on the higher end of middle lenses. Not quite telephoto. Again, we're just labeling things, and I don't care.
Okay, what is it that makes it a favorite lens for you? How about that?
It's a great walk around lens on a full frame camera, and the pictures you get of people are just fantastic. You can't miss with that lens, and quite a few pictures I've taken of you and your kids when we've been shooting out together have been with that lens, and it's just a real favorite of mine.
Okay.
But in terms of true telephoto, if we're going to get picky, it's the 70-200 as well. It's just, I just love that lens. We have the non-IS version, f/4. It's the cheapest one of the four.
Yeah.
It is. That's one of the reasons. It was cheap. It's light. It's much lighter, easier to carry. And for me, the $1,800, I couldn't justify that, purchasing that.
Yep. As far as bang for your buck goes in a telephoto lens for the sharpness, again, I do my research when it comes to this stuff, and I read a bazillion articles. Is that a number, bazillion? I read a lot of articles, watched a lot of videos, and there was just nothing that that could match that for the price. You know, that was the bargain on the market.
Yes. Colors look fantastic. You can't go wrong.
And the bokeh... amazing bokeh.
Mm-hmm. That's telephoto.
There you go.
So I think that's all you need to know about telephoto lenses for now.
Now, I should say that another popular lens, it is more expensive, that I did read a lot about and for a moment contemplated, was Sigma makes a 70-200 that's an f2.8. Mm-hmm. And I believe it has... There's a version, I think, that has IS and one that hasn't. Again, now I'm sort of digging back into my memory vault, which isn't great. But I think it was around $1,300 or $1,400. And that same version for the Canon is $2,500. So
right.
the reviews were very good for it. In terms of if someone wanted those things, I would potentially do your research on the Sigma because it seems like a good bang for your buck if you need something that's going to go to 2.8. So... anyways, just something right. I came across, but still did not want to spend $1,500, so I was going for the F4.
Absolutely. So that brings us to the halfway point of this episode.
Okay, and now what do we have to talk about, Al?
No, I'm just joking. I'm hanging
no,
up.
No, I knew you were joking.
You can carry on if you like, but I'm going
to
go.
Yeah, I've been waiting to go to bed for about 45 minutes.
Hear that, everybody?
I'm actually sleeping with my eyes open.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we need a challenge for next week. Got one?
No. Do you?
You do have one.
Oh, I do have one. It is a long exposure, but we kind of did that, didn't we? That's my amazing disco ball picture way back, right? I did. It was a long exposure, wasn't
that was
it?
Like, I think that was the first photo challenge.
No, it wasn't the first photo challenge. It was an earlier photo challenge, and I pull it out because I was amazing. Mine was way better than yours.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. No, I think that was like the first photo challenge. And that was more about blur. That wasn't about long exposure necessarily.
No, it was exactly about long. Go back. It's a long exposure challenge.
You know what? People are like, hey, man, hopefully they bicker more about this. That's the key.
No, that's part of the format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They waste all of our time by bickering.
No, if anybody's still listening, they want to hear the bickering.
Yeah, they don't. Okay, you're right. It wasn't one of the first ones. I was thinking about the one I shot of the girl on roller skates. It was motion was the category.
Yeah, we did a long exposure, and I hit it out of the park with that disco ball picture.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have a long exposure, like a show dedicated to long exposures coming up, though, right?
Exactly.
And so, therefore, we're going to ask, we're going to re-challenge a long exposure shot.
Okay.
What was my long exposure?
It was not memorable.
Oh, that's right, because I remember now. Oh, I was in it.
Well, I don't remember what it was.
It was me on Granville Street, and I think, wasn't that long exposure? Take a picture of a, I don't even want to say the word.
Okay. Super super handsome guy on Granville Street?
That would have been nice, if that was the word. I can't even find it now.
Okay, don't worry about it. Let's close this one out.
Yeah, let's move on.
Where can we find your stuff?
No, it's going to be long exposure. Still doing long exposure, though.
You're right. We're still doing it because it's a lead-in to an episode.
Yes. So we're going to do that. Oh, okay, yeah. We did long exposure using a tripod.
Okay, so we're not using a tripod?
I don't know. You do whatever you want now.
All right.
We're going to redo this and hopefully do better because the only reason yours was better than mine is mine was terrible.
Right.
So do better. Do better, and we'll hear from our expert either next week or the week after, depending on his schedule. That's what experts do. They have their own schedule.
That's right.
There's that. So until then, where can people find your stuff, Adam?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Great.
And how about your stuff?
AlanAtrich.com, the two of us are at twohosers.com, where you can find everything else. Please help us out by Twittering the Adam Carolla Ace Broadcasting Network. Do I have to sweeten the deal and like sort of make it about the people doing the tweeting?
No.
Yeah, I think I do, but next week maybe.
Okay.
Next week I'll explain why it's important that you do it and how you're part of something great and how it's not like we're going to sit back and just cash checks if you tweet. That's okay. Not going to happen.
Right.
But there is something bigger in the works and that you're going to be part of something big. I don't know, whatever's big. So check us out at twohosers.com where you can find our Flickr, Twitter, Google+, all those sorts of things. Check us out on iTunes. Until next week, Adam, get out there and make better photos.